Good morning, everyone. My name is Rob Griffin. I'm one of the leaders here at Grace Generation Church. And this morning I'm going to be continuing with the series we've been doing on parables over the last few weeks. And I'm going to be speaking to you about the parable of the workers in the vineyard. The parable's found in Matthew chapter 20. But in order to get the context of the parable, I'm going to start reading to you from Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. I'm going to read to you from the ESV version. And behold, a man came up to him saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter said in reply, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour, and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I'm not doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So, the last will be first, and the first last." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Jesus, thank you that you told us this parable to teach us more about you, about your kingdom. And as we go through this parable today, I pray that you would teach us, your family, more about you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to illuminate this word into our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've titled this message I'm going to speak on this parable, "It's Not Fair, or Is It?" And what I want to do is firstly just do an introduction and give you the context for which this parable was given by Jesus, and then draw out 3 points from the parable to see what we can learn about the kingdom of God. Firstly, I want to look at the master of the house that we read about in the parable. Then I want to look at the vineyard, and finally to look at the workers. This message is primarily addressed to workers in the vineyard, to Christians. But even if you do not consider yourself a Christian and you're hearing this message today, there is a message for you. Have you ever noticed with young children that one of the first things they learn to say is, "It's not fair"? If you give two children, if you're dishing up food for them and one child's portion is larger than the other, the one with the smaller portion is quick to protest and say, "It's not fair." This sense of what is fair and what is not fair seems to be found in the heart of man from a very early age. And that's why, for those of us who are parents, it's important that we teach our children that life will not always be the way they want it to be. They will face situations where they perceive things to be unfair, and they've got to learn how to deal with that. If we don't teach our children this, they'll grow up with this mentality of demanding rights as they get older. Unfortunately, we live in a society and in a world where there's this rights mentality. People are always continually demanding their rights. And so often when they demand their rights, they give no consideration to the often negative consequences that their demands make on others. It's important, therefore, that we are able to deal with these issues of what's fair and not fair. It's important, too, that as Christians, we don't have a rights mentality. I believe that we as Christians need to leave all our rights at the foot of the cross. Even the basic human rights, the rights to a home, an education, our daily provision, we need to leave these at the foot of the cross and acknowledge that everything we have from God, whether it's a home, family, provision, these are all gifts from God. And Jesus, knowing what was in the heart of man, knowing that people have the sense of what is fair and not fair, he told us this parable. In the parable, the context of the parable is that a rich young man comes to Jesus, and outwardly he appears to be good. He keeps the commands, but he loves his wealth. He asks Jesus, "What must I do to get eternal life?" And Jesus lists a few commands and says, "These commands, you need to keep them." And the man proudly says, "Well, I've kept all these commands." But there's one command Jesus hasn't mentioned, and that command is the one that we read elsewhere in the scriptures is the greatest command of all, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And Jesus hasn't mentioned this one command because he knows it's the one command that this young man has not kept. This rich man does not love God with all his heart because he loves his wealth even more. So Jesus drops a bombshell and he says to the young, rich young man, he says, "If you want to be perfect, go take your possessions and sell them and give the proceeds to the poor and follow me, and then you will have treasures in heaven." The man is devastated and downcast. He leaves Jesus' presence. Jesus then tells his disciples that it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And to emphasize this, he uses a proverbial saying which was used in those days, that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich person to get into heaven. That proverbial saying was used to describe something that was extremely unusual or difficult. The disciples are astonished and say to Jesus, "But then who can enter the kingdom of God? Who can be saved?" And Jesus responds and says, "With man this seems impossible, but with God all things are possible. Wondering what this all means for them, Peter then asks Jesus, well, what about us, Lord? We've given up everything to follow you. What will there be for us? Jesus assures the disciples that they will be rewarded for what they have done. In fact, he says anyone who leaves their homes, their families, their lands, their businesses, will receive a hundredfold reward and inherit eternal life. Now, we need to realize that Jesus is saying this in the context of what has just happened with the rich young man. So Jesus is not literally saying that you need to leave your home or leave your husband or leave your wife or your family or your job and go, for example, and be a missionary somewhere. No, what Jesus is saying is just as the rich young man preferred his wealth to loving God, we must not prefer these things, our homes, our families, our jobs, to loving God. Notice too how Jesus speaks of a hundredfold reward and an inheriting eternal life. The reward is God's response to us for what we've done. But eternal life is an inheritance. There's nothing we can do to earn eternal life. It is a gift from God. The moment we become Christians, the moment we are born again, God writes our names in His will, His testament, and we become inheritors of eternal life. Now, concerning the rewards, Jesus says that there will be surprises regarding these rewards, and He illustrates it with the parable. The parable tells the story of the man who has a vineyard. And this man, very early in the morning, is out in the marketplace where all the workers are gathering in the hope that someone will come in and hire them for the day. And the man is out there, he finds some workers, he discusses, negotiates, and they come to an agreement. They are of one mind about the wage for the day. Let's call it 300 rand for the day. And he sends them off to work in his vineyard. The man goes out again at 9 in the morning, at midday, and 3 in the afternoon. And each time he finds more workers standing around idle. And he says, why haven't you been working? And they respond, well, no one has hired us. One wonders why that is the case. Why were they not there at 6 in the morning when the master was first looking for workers? Did they oversleep? But the master of the vineyard, he doesn't question them about this. He accepts their answer and he says, well, you also go and work in my vineyard and I'll pay you what's fair and right based on the hours that you have worked. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, when there's only 1 hour left in the day to work, the master goes out again. And even at this hour, he finds people who haven't been working. And surprisingly, he hires them too. He sends them to his vineyard to go and work. At 6 in the evening, when it's time to pay the workers, he calls his foreman and says, please pay them all. Start with the ones that are hired last at 5 o'clock, going on to pay the ones that were here first thing in the morning, at 6 in the morning. So they all line up for their wages, and no doubt they're doing some kind of calculation. Well, if the master's paying those that work the full day, 12 hours, 300 rand. That's 25 rand an hour. I guess that's a fair wage we can expect. Can you imagine their surprise when they get 300 rand? Has the master made some kind of mistake? But as all the workers who were hired at various times during the day collect their wages, they all get 300 rand. They begin to realize that this, how fortunate they are. This master is a very kind and generous man. The ones who were hired first, no doubt, are also thinking, well, if these guys who only worked a fraction of the day receive 300 rand, surely we won't get 300 rand. We must be getting more. And when it's their turn to be paid, they also only receive 300 rand. They quickly form together in a group. You know what it's like when people are feeling they've been let down. they get together, they grumble, and they appoint a spokesperson to go and approach the master and say, this is just not fair. These who have worked 1 hour, you've made them equal to us who've borne the burden of the day's work. It's just not fair. The master replies, I'm not being unfair. Didn't we agree on 300 rand for a day's work? And I've paid you 300 rand. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Don't begrudge me. I'm not being unfair to you. It's just that to some, I'm being extremely generous. Jesus tells us that this parable speaks of the kingdom of God, heaven. He says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. So what can we learn about the kingdom of heaven from this parable? This is where I want to draw our attention to the 3 points I mentioned in the introduction. Firstly, let's look at the master of the house. What does the parable teach us about the person and character of the master of the house? Then I want to see what we can learn from the vineyard. And finally, to look at the workers. And particularly, to look at the problem that the workers who were hired first had. And how we, as Christians, workers in God's vineyard, can avoid these problems. So let's look at the master of the house. The master of the house represents Jesus. Jesus is the one who goes out and looks and seeks for workers and commissions them to work in his vineyard. Notice how, to what great lengths the master goes to make sure his vineyard is productive. He's out early in the morning looking for workers. And once he's hired them, throughout the day, he's continually going out and looking for more workers. It's as if he cannot find rest until he's gathered together all the workers that he can possibly find to work in his vineyard. And as far as the master is concerned, it is never too late to hire workers for his vineyard. We see the master is dedicated to his vineyard. We also learn that the master of the vineyard never underpaid anyone. He was never unfair to anyone. To the ones who were promised 300 rand, they received 300 rand, and this does not constitute unfairness. But what we do see is that although he was fair to everyone, to some workers, he was extremely generous. In fact, I would say he was unreasonably generous to these workers. And I say unreasonable because these workers received far more than they deserved. And isn't that what it's like with God? The gifts we receive are far more than what we deserve. And so with the master of the house, we have a picture of Jesus who's committed to seeking and commissioning his workers. A Jesus who's dedicated to his vineyard. And a Jesus who's not only fair, but extremely generous. Let's turn to the vineyard. In this parable, the vineyard represents the place where souls are reared for heaven. In John 4, this is referred to as the harvest field. The master of the house, who we have seen as Jesus, is constantly going out and commissioning workers for his vineyard. If you are a Christian, then you are a worker in the vineyard of God. You have called to be his worker. And this calling is a full-time work calling. The workers in the vineyard, in the parable, they were fully devoted to the work of the vineyard. Whether they worked 12 hours, 9 hours, 6 hours, or 3 hours, or even if they only worked 1 hour, for the time they worked, they were fully devoted and committed to the work of the vineyard. Once you are called to work in God's vineyard, there is no time for other occupations. For some of you, the place where you are working in God's vineyard is your workplace. For those who are studying at university or school, that your university, your school, that place is where you are working in God's vineyard. Perhaps your vineyard is at home. Wherever you spend your day, there you are working in God's vineyard. And remember, because it's God's vineyard, He is your true boss. Not your earthly boss, but the master of the vineyard, Jesus. He is your boss. You are working for him. What can we learn about the workers? So as I've already indicated, the workers represent Christians working in the vineyard of the master. And although the parable speaks of workers who were hired at various times of the day, it seems to focus on the workers that were hired first, because these workers had a problem, or some problems. What were their problems? Their first problem was that they had a "it's not fair" mentality. Because they'd worked from 6 in the morning and had carried the burden of the day's work, they expected to receive more. And despite the fact that they received everything that was promised to them, they still wanted more. The second problem with these workers is that their behavior shows that they lack gratitude. They are ungrateful. How do we know they're ungrateful? Because they grumble. Have you ever seen anyone who's grateful grumbling? Grateful people don't grumble, and these workers grumbled. We know, too, that they were ungrateful because even for what they did receive, the 300 rand, there's no indication that they show any appreciation or thanks for what they've received. Their third problem is that they're prideful in their accomplishments, and they compare themselves to the other workers and think because they've worked the whole day that they are better. And their objection is that the master of the house has made the others equal to them. So as Christians, how do we avoid becoming like these workers who were hired first? In order that we don't become grumblers with an "it's not fair" attitude, we need to have a heart that is full of thanksgiving and gratitude. We need to acknowledge that everything we have is a gift from God, that our homes, our families, our jobs, our daily provision, all these things are gifts from God. Do we just take these things for granted, or do we give thanks for them? For example, take your monthly salary or wage. Do you thank anyone for them? Do you even thank your boss for them? I worked as an accountant for about 20 years, and at times I was employing up to 50 workers. And the employees that really stood out for me during this time and impressed me were the ones who never took anything for granted. Although these workers were in the minority, they are the ones that would come every month and thank me for their salary. But it's not just your earthly boss that you need to thank. You need to remember that you are working in God's vineyard. You need to give thanks to your heavenly boss. After all, your earthly boss is just an instrument in the hand of God through which he provides for you. God is your true provider. I'd encourage you, every time you receive your wages or your salary, whether it's on a monthly or weekly basis, to say a prayer of thanks to God for his provision and acknowledge that he is the source of that provision. To avoid falling into the trap of being prideful in our accomplishments, we mustn't compare ourselves to other workers in the vineyard. Don't think that the work you are doing in the vineyard is better than what anyone else is doing. We may think that it is, but as Jesus teaches us in this parable, on the day the rewards are handed out, there will be some surprises. We need to be imitators of Jesus, who was humble, and remain humble. We need to take the yoke of the master upon ourselves as we work in the vineyard with him and learn from him, for he is gentle and humble in heart. And to avoid being like these complaining, grumbling workers, we need to be full of joy. If you feel like you're carrying the burden of the day and you're getting tired and weary, consider it pure joy, as James says, when you face various trials, because this testing of your faith develops perseverance. Rejoice in the task that Jesus has given you. Consider it an honor and a privilege to work with your master, your savior, in the vineyard. And finally, in conclusion, I want to give one more area of application of this parable for us as workers in the vineyard. In order that we don't become grumbling, ungrateful, and prideful workers, we need to take heed of the problem that the rich young man had. The rich young man was obedient to all the commands, except for the greatest command of all, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. For some of us, we served God for many years, perhaps like the workers who were hired 6 a.m. We've grown weary bearing the burden of the day's work. Perhaps our Christian walk has just become routine. It's lost the vibrancy and fervency with which it was there when we first became Christians. Let us remember that we need to love the Lord our God. The Holy Spirit's reminding us of us to do that today. To love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength. Jesus said to the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. So perhaps like this church in Ephesus, we have toiled a lot, and God sees that, but he's asking us, have we lost our first love? Christian and fellow worker, do you see in your life some of the problems that these workers had? Do you have an it's not fair mentality? Do you fail to show gratitude? Are you complaining and grumbling? Are you constantly comparing yourself to others? Have you lost your first love? If so, Jesus is calling us to repent, and I'd like to pray with you. But before I pray, and as I mentioned in the beginning, there's a message in this parable not only for us as Christian workers, but for those who do not call themselves Christians. The master of the house has gone to great lengths to call you. And he's gone to such great lengths that he's even laid his life down for you to qualify you as a worker in his vineyard. Perhaps he's called you before and you don't know what. For some reason you didn't respond. Maybe it's the first time he's calling you. He wants you to respond. It might be 6 a.m. and you have a long life ahead of you. It might be, you might be older and in your 11th hour, it's not too late. He's calling you. Won't you respond to the unreasonable generosity of the master of the vineyard? Let us pray. Father God, we come before you today with hearts full of gratitude for your word. Thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for calling us to be workers in your vineyard. Father, as we consider those workers who showed no gratitude, who grumbled, who were proud, we ask you to examine our hearts and see if there's anything there that brings you displeasure. Forgive us, Lord, for ingratitude. Forgive us, Lord, for complaining and grumbling. And for pride. And where we have lost our first love, Lord God, we repent and ask your forgiveness. Father, I pray too for those who have never responded to the call of the Master, but want to respond to you now, as they repent of their former way of life and ask you to forgive their sins and they put their faith in Jesus, the Master of the house. I pray that you would receive them into your vineyard. Amen.